Hello and welcome to Under New Management, the podcast that examines new and notable management research and how this research can enhance your effectiveness as a manager in your organization. I'm Mike Johnson, an assistant professor of management and organization in the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington in Seattle. In today's podcast, we've talked with Tanya Menon, an associate professor of managerial and organizational behavior at the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business. We discuss a paper that she recently published in the journal Organizational Behavior and Human Decision Processes called Don't Hate Me Because I'm Beautiful, Self-Enhancing Biases in Threat Appraisal. On the phone with us is Tanya Menon. Tanya, thanks for being with us on Under New Management.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Tanya, can you tell us how you became interested in doing research on how people respond to threats?
Well, Lee Thompson, who's my collaborator on this project, and I, we've both written a few papers on envy together, and we've been really interested in how it affects learning and cooperation in teams and in organizations. This specific project actually comes up from something some of my MBA students would tell me, and so many of these MBA students, they're really young, they're smart, they're credentialed, they're very, very successful. And they're absolutely terrified that they are going to threaten their bosses, some of whom aren't having all of these credentials. And
sure.
So many consultants are actually concerned about this as well, having knowledge and then having to articulate it to people who are going to be really upset and threatened by this as well. So that was kind of where the idea came from. And as I went and I looked back, I thought of a lot of funny stories in my own experience. And so one example of this was I was a Harvard undergraduate, and at Harvard there's this norm where if someone asks you, where did you go to school, people always say, I went to Boston. And then somebody says, oh, Boston University, and then you say, no, Cambridge. And then they say, where in Cambridge? And then they say, Tufts, and then it goes on in this circuitous, long conversation. And instead of just saying a two-second answer, which is, I went to Harvard. And the whole purpose of this little performance, of course, is that you're not supposed to threaten other people by dropping what they call the H-bomb on them.
Mm.
And so what I often, as I heard this whole thing, I would often laugh because most people that I met, some of them didn't know where Harvard was. Many of them didn't care that you went to Harvard. And most people who went to college loved their own schools, too. They truly weren't threatened, but this norm kind of came about in the sense of everybody must be really threatened because I went to Harvard. And so we tried to kind of underplay it in this way. And so this is kind of the perfect example of how people think about threat in this very self-enhancing way. Of course, everybody's threatened by me.
Uh-huh.
And the reality is most people really don't care. So
absolutely. Well, in the paper, you introduced the concept of threat immunity. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so threat immunity is basically two kinds of beliefs. One is a belief about your own level of security in the face of threat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other belief is your inferences about how threatened other people might be. So it's really a measure of how you understand yourself and other people's ego threat. And so in contrast to a lot of research that says that people may lack empathy, they're insensitive, they're self-centered, what threat immunity is about is worry that, or the concern that we're really overly concerned about other people's fragility of their egos and to a fault.
Hmm. And what effects did you think that threat immunity might have on interactions between people?
Well, I think, for example, with the MBA students who are very concerned about threatening their bosses, I think their worries are indeed legitimate, and so there's a lot of people out there who are truly envious and who may be very threatened by your skills and your talents. But the real problem that I thought when we were thinking about threat immunity is that if you invoke these dynamics too readily, it's really hard to improve the relationships that you have with people, because it's a pretty insulting preconceived notion that you have about other people's reactions towards yourself, and it could elicit a self-fulfilling prophecy. If I believe someone is threatened, then I'm going to treat them like somebody who's really threatened by me because I have all of these great qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And you sense me doing that, and you code it as, of course, something that is negative, and then I say, oh my goodness, this person is responding negatively to me.
So it sounds like this might lead to increased conflict in organizations?
Yeah, so basically my real concern is that by making these assumptions about other people, you're imagining conflicts and threats that other people have that they may not even have, that may not exist. And so it's kind of this creation of a relationship of conflict between people that's illusory.
Right. Well, how did you go about studying it? I know you did four different studies. Can you tell us just briefly about how you studied the concept of threat immunity?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to do with this paper was study it across a lot of different settings, because we think that it's a concept that matters when people are interacting in teams, when people are maybe negotiating, and simply when they're making assessments about other people. So what we did was we simply asked people to think about real relationships with people that they've had that might have been threatened, and they gave evaluations of those real relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We studied MBA teams where they were actually interacting with their peers and had them assess the level of threat between each of the members on this team. And we created a situation of threat immunity in a negotiation context. We kind of gave people the hint that the other person might be threatened by them a little bit. And so we experimentally manipulated this belief as well. So that we tried to study it across various organizational contexts.
And what were your primary findings?
So we had three basic findings, and our first finding was that certainly there is a threat immunity effect. People are seeing themselves as much more immune to threat, and they assume that other people are going to be much more subject to threat. And this is a self-enhancing belief that can create tensions.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that we argued was not only are there tensions there, but people have to manage those tensions. And what they do is they try to what we call fine-tune the volume of the self. And fine-tuning the volume of the self is, am I going to come off as too loud, too soft, right? And so what we find that's interesting is that even though this is a self-enhancing belief, of course I'm not threatened and you are, the way people respond is by minimizing the self. They turn down the volume of themselves, they underrepresent their talents, and they act like they're less good because of course they're scared that the other person might be threatened if they revealed all of their talents.
Right, like your Harvard example.
Yeah, and in the Harvard example, I often laugh because there's this real secret delight that people have, that they have this special knowledge that they are better than you, but of course they don't want to tell you that because it may break you, and it may you're so fragile you're not going to be able to handle it.
Right.
So they're kind of turning down their achievements. And the final thing that we were interested in is, how do you get rid of this effect? And in contrast to a lot of research that focuses on self-esteem and self-affirmation, what we found is that if you affirm yourself, that's going to make this effect even worse. Because why are we talking about self-affirmation in a world where we live in, where we know that people are highly self-enhancing and subject to a lot of egocentric biases?
Mm-hmm.
What makes the effect go away is other affirmation. So the minute that I turn away from myself and look at another person and look at their talents, all of a sudden their talents become salient, and so I see the resources that another person might have to deal with the natural threats that they might experience.
So then, what would you say are the practical applications of this research for organizations?
Well, one thing that I notice is that many people are avoidant of giving feedback, for example. And so people are terrified about giving feedback because they're really fearful that it's going to threaten others, that other people can't handle it. And my response is, these people are probably going to be okay, and they may appreciate it too. And kind of reminds me of sometimes I interact with my friends and they'll tell me things like, you know, I really want to break up with my boyfriend, but, you know, I don't want to hurt him too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like, I think he's going to be okay. You know, I think he's going to deal with it and he'll be just fine. And so we're overestimating the fragility of other people. And so in contrast to a lot of the research that I think is talking about, you know, the importance of perspective taking, the importance of empathy, well, what we're saying is that you sometimes have to threaten other people, and they're going to probably be okay. And another problem with this whole effect, I think, is that when you're displaying this kind of empathy to people, you're making errors as you take their perspective. Mm-hmm. You're creating concerns that they probably don't have to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I think the feedback is one situation. Another example actually ends up being negotiations. So many people are concerned that they're too tough in the negotiation. Mm-hmm. And the other side is probably not that fragile. They can deal with it. They're in the act of just doing business with people. And so people kind of hold back and say, oh my God, I hope the other side was all right with this. And there's just an over-concern of the fragility of people and their reactions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the bottom line for managers?
So there's two. One is people may hate you, but it's probably not because you're beautiful. So you may want to think about some of the other reasons why they dislike you. Mm-hmm. And the second one is to be a great manager, to be a great negotiator, to be someone who communicates great ideas, you are going to have to deliver messages that are threatening to people. So don't worry so much that others won't be able to handle it. They'll probably be just fine and find a way to bounce back.
Okay, great. Well, Tanya, great research, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Thank you for downloading Under New Management, a podcast of the Organizational Behavior Division of the Academy of Management. The OB division has over 5,000 members dedicated to the science and practice of organizational behavior. For more information about the OB division, visit www.obweb.org. For more information about the Academy of Management and its over 17,000 members worldwide, visit www.aomonline.org. Computer support for this podcast is provided by Vu Tran.